This is Aspen Public Radio. I'm Carolyn Heldman. Welcome to Cross Currents. On today's show, Winter School, Aspen's annual Toast to Winter, Jennifer Albright Carney. She's the Vice President of Event Marketing for ACRA, the Aspen Chamber Resort Association, and Eric Klanderud, the Director of Member Services. They'll tell us all about this year's Winter School, the theme, King and Queen, and a rundown of events. And later, David Hoogie and Alex Brose, who both were members of the Cornell University Glee Club. The Cornell University Glee Club and the Aspen Music Festival and School are co-presenters of a concert on Monday at Harris Concert Hall. The club, which is made up of 60 men and Cornell's oldest student organization, is recognized as one of the premier collegiate choral ensembles in the United States. But first, Eric Klanderud and Jen Carney from the Aspen Chamber. I asked Jennifer to give us a history of Winter School.
Winter School was started in 1951 by a gentleman named Jack DePachter. He was working at the Hotel Jerome, and he was originally from Europe, and he remembered all these fun European carnivals they had back home, and he thought, well, hey, wouldn't it be great to do something here in Aspen similar? And he looked at the calendar and decided on January, because back in 1951, things were pretty slow after the holiday season, and he thought it would be a way to get people to come into town, but also for the people that were living here to enjoy and celebrate winter.
So what were some of the early activities in the 50s?
Well, there was the Winter School Parade.
That's always been part of it?
It was. We no longer host the parade, but it started originally. And the Winter School Queen Contest, the first queen was Ellie Spence. And the way that she won it is that they actually had to do a skiing contest. And as far as my understanding goes, it was a little bit of a series of ski contests throughout several days, and she ultimately won and then became the queen. We still have a king and a queen tradition 66 years later, but there's no ski contest involved.
In the subsequent years, as the mountains expanded and were developed, it became a four-day celebration. Each mountain had its own day.
It did. We no longer have that format.
Right,
it's a four-day celebration still, but it's not Aspen Mountain Day, Buttermilk Day, Snowmass Day. There's a variety of activities that take place every day, and it could be an in-town activity. It could be at the mountain, but it's not a specific mountain day anymore.
Eric, some of the memorable parades?
You know, growing up back in the early to mid-70s, they were pretty wild. I was in Willard Clapper's class for third and fourth grade, and every year he would have us dress up. I don't know if he was basing it on whatever the slogan was, and I do have one fond memory. We had to go as money, and I was either a nickel or a dime, and you know, we spent all week making it, and we made them out of cardboard, and we draped them over us, kind of like the signboard lady in town has that set up, and we just walked the streets of Aspen very proud. Really don't know what the intent was.
But as a nickel or a dime.
As a nickel or a dime. We had kids who, buddies who teamed up and were $100 bills or 50s. But it was a lot of fun. And then, of course, you know, they were just wild. You know, we were talking earlier about the snowball fight.
That's what I remember, are the fights between the rugby team and town.
Yeah, and the poor rugby team, they would just come in on a flatbed. And I remember they would have the tin garbage lids
as shields.
They'd look like medieval warriors. And people would pelt them relentlessly. Those guys were great sports about it. They laughed. And then, of course, you know, there were some characters around that every year showed up. You had Charlie Chaplin. To this day, I have no idea who
that
was. Yeah.
I bet the Aspen Historical Society folks.
But he was pretty amazing. He showed up.
Yeah.
Full outfit,
yep.
and full character.
Yeah.
And would march the parade route almost as the unofficial marshal. And then you had the characters in town like Ralph Jackson, who just, you know, has his own quirkiness to him that really added to the, I guess, vitality and insanity of the event.
Yeah. The rugby team and the snowball fights, I remember the gauntlet being that one section of town on Galena, I think, as you went up right by the Ute Mountaineer building.
The old Bram building there where the Elks building is.
And the Elks building.
I started to notice as I got a little older, it maybe was the Aspen State Teachers College students, or there was an organized group that would perch on the top of the roofs.
Yeah.
And they would just snipe them from up top.
Yeah,
and
snipers.
Both sides. And these guys did not stand a chance.
Right.
But every
but they
year
loved
they
it.
Kept showing up.
And same with the 4th of July. It became the giant water fight.
Yeah.
Anyway, those are days of yore. So the parade is no longer happening during Winter School. But what does happen this year?
So we still have elements of the parade that are celebrated as part of Winter School. On Saturday, we host Winterfest. It's from 11:30 to 3. And we're very excited that the United States Air Force Drum and Bugle Corps Academy, who used to be a part of the parade, still comes up and performs for us. It's definitely a highlight of the weekend. The Elgibel Shrine Bagpipers join them. That performance takes place downtown near Wagner Park, near the clock tower. And we start the day off with the Canine Fashion Show, which has been happening for many, many years. And again, is one of those kind of quirky, fun Winter School celebration activities where people dress up their dogs and they compete for different categories. So that happens first. And then the Air Force Band comes in and plays. And we're also doing this year in Wagner Park fat cycle bike demos, which are being presented by Borealis Bikes. So fat biking is getting bigger and bigger in winter communities. And if nobody's tried one, I definitely encourage you to come out and try one out. They're just going to groom a little track around Wagner Park. Yeah. So you can see, you know, how those tires are different from a regular mountain bike or a road bike. And Aspen recently, I believe it was last year, the Parks Department in the city of Aspen and Picking County has a fat bike trail system that's open to the public right now. It's a 4.5-mile course. So those that are interested in fat biking, you know, there's definitely an opportunity here within our community.
And fireworks?
Fireworks are happening on Saturday night. We are doing the torchlight descent at 8 o'clock, and then the fireworks will happen immediately after at approximately 8:15 p.m., and that show lasts for about 10, 12 minutes or so.
Who are the king and queen this year? How do you decide?
This year it's Pat Callahan is our king, and Julie Lampton is the queen, and this year's slogan is "Our Cup Runneth Over." It's in honor of the World Cup finals returning to Aspen in March. So we have a committee of community individuals. Many of them sit on organizations that organize events as part of the Winter School schedule, and they help select who the king and queen are. And the committee took into consideration people in our community that have contributed a lot to the community, as well as embrace the spirit of winter sports and Winter School, as well as honoring the ski heritage and history tied in with the World Cup coming back.
All those events that you just described are Saturday. And it kicks off on Thursday?
It kicks off on Thursday, but we actually do a dinner on Wednesday night where we honor the king and queen.
So we start Winter School off on Wednesday, January 11th, the official kickoff dinner for Winter School. It's named after Helen Klanderud, the former mayor and member of our board and very active with the chamber. Within that dinner, we decided, we have four events throughout the year. We decided to bring all the chamber awards under one dinner, name it after Helen, really embrace the spirit of the chamber, you know, with our business community and our membership. And we've created a number of awards, starting with, we have the Molly Campbell Service Award, followed by a couple of Defy Ordinary Awards, which go to individuals who we feel just go above and beyond representing and living, you know, the mind, body, spirit philosophy. And then we have the Business of the Year Awards, which include Entrepreneur of the Year, Nonprofit of the Year, and Business of the Year, which are decided upon by committees. It's really taken off. It's a lot of fun. King and Queen are coordinated there. We also recognize outgoing board members. And it seems out of all the events that I do, the other quarterly events, this is truly a community event. People come. It's after the holidays. People want to unwind, catch up with their friends. And it's just a relaxing environment. And going back to the Molly Campbell Award real quick, Molly Campbell was the former GM of the Gantt.
Yeah.
And passed away a number of years ago. Group of lodge owners and community leaders decided to name an award after her based on her volunteerism and civic engagement and just contributions to the community. So the first award was given in 2007. Now we're in 15. And what's cool about this award, previous award winners vote on the future winners. So the committee's gradually growing, and we're just excited. I think this year's recipient well-deserved, and people will be very satisfied with it.
And that's obviously open to the public. If people want tickets, how do they get them?
So call 925-1940, can order tickets at the chamber. They are $80 for chamber members, $100 for non-members. They are about to sell out, so I recommend calling as soon as you can. The reception's from 5 to 6, pre-function area downstairs at the Regis, and then the dinner will start promptly at 6 p.m. with our annual Winter Skull Toast.
So that really kicks off the whole event. And Thursday, tell us what happens on Thursday.
Thursday, absolutely. And I want to touch on something that Eric just mentioned, how the dinner is truly a community event. Winter Skull itself really is a community event. The Chamber has the honor and the privilege of organizing the overall schedule and help promote everything that's going on. But there's really so many people and individuals and businesses that organize all these different activities that are so wonderful for people to enjoy that Winter Skull couldn't happen without them. And we are so grateful and thankful for all of their hard work. The Aspen Historical Society, Anderson Ranch, the Ski Company. I mean, the list just goes on and on. So I just wanted to give a shout out to all of our community partners who really, really work so hard to make this all happen. And with that, Anderson Ranch is doing Winter Sculpt again, and that does start on Thursday. So that's something that's been taking place for quite a while and really is a true part of Winter School. They have 5 adult snow sculptures. So there's 5 different teams that carve 8-foot by 8-foot snow blocks in town. They start on Thursday at 4 o'clock. They finish Saturday and judging takes place at 2:30. At 3 o'clock on Saturday, the winners will be announced. And then also they do a kid sculpt, which is on Friday. And I think that's 4 or 5 snow blocks where area schools come. Anderson Ranch partners with the schools to
That's
bring
so
kids
great.
In. So really a cool thing for the kids to be able to get out of school and come and participate in something Winter School.
Do you encourage them to somehow use the theme as a starting point for the sculptures, or they can do whatever they want?
We do, but sometimes Anderson Ranch has their own direction. This year they are using Our Cup Runneth Over. So I'm excited to see what people come up with. You know, it's a lot of work and it can be really cold. So if anybody's out at 2 in the morning on Friday night, feel free to stop by and say hello and encourage those sculptors that are out there.
And that's all Thursday, then Friday?
Thursday, yes. And we also have some other fun things happening on Thursday. It is a full moon this year during Winter School, which is really cool. So the Cliff House at Buttermilk has started some uphill full moon dinners, which is part of, if you go to the Ski Company's website, you can get details on that. But if anybody's out on their snowshoes or skinning and wants to head up to the Cliff House on Friday night, that's an opportunity to hang out and have a cool dinner. The Art Museum is doing a free opening reception and walkthrough from 5:30 to 6:30. And then the Aspen Historical Society is hosting Aspen History 101 with the Teachers College, and that's at the Wheeler Opera House. That's free at 5:30. We also have ACES at Hallam Lake is doing a special naturalist night, so people are welcome to join there. And then back again at the Wheeler Opera House at 7:30, they're screening for free Aspen Extreme, kind of bringing back some 80s fun to the celebration. And then, of course, Belly Up has concert that night.
That sounds like a really good day. And Friday.
Friday. So Friday, again, lots going on, and we encourage people to go to our website, aspenchamber.org. If you can't remember everything that's being said here, our schedule is on the website. Anderson Ranch will be continuing with their sculpting, and of course the kids will be sculpting out on the Mill Street Mall. Aspen Highlands hosts the Apple Strudel Downhill, and that's a free little race course where they go down the Aspen Strudel Trail, and then they get a free piece of aspen or apple strudel. I'm confusing my aspen and apple words right now.
It's probably aspen apple strudel.
It's
anyway,
aspen apple strudel. And Gretel Uhl, who was
the
a longtime Aspenite here, had started that apple strudel recipe originally, and that is the inspiration for what is served on the mountain that day. So that's pretty cool. The skating club is doing a Winter Skull exhibition from 4:15 to 6 p.m. at the Aspen Ice Garden. And then the chamber is actually hosting a new event. It's called Glow in the Park. It will be from 5 to 7 on the Mill Street Mall in Wagner Park. And we're super excited. We hope everybody comes out and joins us for this. It will be a DJ. DJ Nakaji is going to be playing music. We have a big video screen where we're showing some really cool epic footage from Ski Company, some old historical shots from the Historical Society. It's kind of a background vibe to the music that's going on. We're going to be giving away free food samples from Louis Swiss Bakery. And then AVSC is doing a rail jam in Wagner Park. So lots of fun things.
Wow.
And we're also doing some cool yard games like tic-tac-toe and the ladder toss and just free, fun family for everybody. So come out and join
Friday
us.
Night,
that's Friday
seven.
Night, that 5 to fun. 7. Yes.
That's a good addition.
It is. We're excited about it.
It's a jam-packed 4 days.
It is.
Again, people, if they want more information.
For the full Winter School schedule of events, please visit aspenchamber.org/winterschool. We do have everything listed on there. We've also partnered with the Aspen Times, who will be publishing our official Winter School guide on Wednesday of this week, January 11th. It's the wrap of the newspaper, so you know, pick up a newspaper, grab that cover, and just keep it with you so you know what's happening. We will say that the schedule of events is subject to change, so something could happen, but what's planned has been printed.
Happy Winter School. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Happy Winter School.
Jennifer Albright Carney, she's the Vice President of Event Marketing for ACRA, the Aspen Chamber Resort Association, and Eric Klanderud, the Director of Member Services. Coming up next, David Hoogie and Alex Brose, alumni of the Cornell University Men's Glee Club. Ave Maria, sung by the Cornell University Glee Club. The Cornell University Glee Club is 60 men. It's Cornell's oldest student organization, and it's recognized as one of the premier collegiate choral ensembles in the United States. They'll be appearing at Harris Concert Hall on Monday at 6:30 p.m. David Hoogie and Alex Brose were both alumni of the Cornell University Glee Club. I asked David to tell me the significance of that piece.
It's the epitome of men's choral singing.
Why?
Just because it's a male, all-male composition, and it was written by a Russian for male Russian chorus, and it's a double chorus, right? So it's TTBB, tenor, tenor, bass, bass, times two. So the choir is divided in two, and there's a main chorus and then an antiphonal chorus.
Tenor, tenor, bass, bass, times two. So there are tenor, 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 tenor?
Correct.
Bass,
there
bass,
are
bass.
Eight parts.
Okay.
That's true, yeah.
So rich and resounding.
Big, rich, full. You know, when you think of, you watch the old Soviet submarine war movies and they've got the Russian chorus as they're going out to sea singing about. It's that kind of rich heritage of, you know, male singing and national pride. And
very stirring.
Well, it's not really national. It's a religious work, obviously. But it still has that sort of kick when you hear it.
And what's the significance of Cornell in this particular piece of music?
So Franz Biebel wrote his Ave Maria in 1964, I believe, and in 1970, the Glee Club was on tour of Germany. So the Glee Club's been touring for a long time. Actually, they went to London in 1895 with the Cornell crew in perhaps what was the first overseas trip by a collegiate music group ever. But they've been touring since then, and they were in Germany in 1970, and they met Franz Biebel. He met the conductor at that time of the Glee Club, Thomas Sokol, who's the man that I sang under in part. And he gave him a stack of music, basically. And Sokol brought it home, and he went through all this music that Biebel had written. And music hadn't been performed much outside of Eastern Europe or the Soviet Union at that point. And he found this piece, the Biebel Ave Maria, which was written for all-male chorus, which the Glee Club is, and just a gorgeous, gorgeous piece. And Tom Sokol and the Glee Club introduced it to the American repertoire, and more and more groups began doing it. And then Chanticleer, which is another professional male choir out of San Francisco, did it. And that really put it on the map. And you see more and more groups doing it. People went back and did an arrangement for mixed choir as well. And so you see it all over the place. But the Cornell Glee Club was the first group to perform it and make it popular in the United States.
And you both sang with the Cornell Glee Club while enrolled at Cornell.
That's
not
right,
simultaneously,
yeah.
Or...
No, we did not overlap.
We were about 10 years apart, I think. But that's one of the beautiful things about the Glee Club at Cornell is it's really this tradition that carries on across generations. And so, you know, both of us know Glee Club alumni from, you know, the youngest to the oldest. And whenever we get together for concerts, there's always an opportunity for alumni to go up on stage and sing, which is fun.
Okay, so that's the question. When Cornell University brings the Glee Club around, as they are doing next week, there's just a kind of an open mic almost? Just, hey, everybody, anybody that is...
Not necessarily.
Alum.
I think it happens towards the end of the concert. Each concert, there are what are called Cornell songs. And these are songs that we all learned while we were there. There are books made about them. We might still have them in our libraries, believe it or not. But Cornell songs are many of the songs that people just learned when they were at Cornell generations ago. So it happens very often where you'll find somebody who will come up and sing a Cornell song with you who never sang in the Glee Club, but graduated in the class of 1948 or 1951 and knows all the songs because that's what people were singing when
right.
they were enrolled there. So
the fight songs.
The fight songs, sure. The alma mater certainly is a major one. The evening song. These are all songs that people just know, having gone to Cornell.
Will you be able to participate in the singing of the Biebel?
Absolutely.
The Biebel probably not. Yeah,
I don't know if the Biebel's on. I don't think the Biebel's on the concert.
I don't know if they're doing it this
on
time
the program
around, yeah.
for this tour, but there'll be other great male music. But we were both in the Glee Club. We were also both in a subset of the Glee Club called the Hangovers. The Hangover is a term because my father also went to Cornell and graduated in 1961. And back then, engineering was a five-year program. You know, you sort of got your formal four-year graduation with your class, but then you stayed on for an extra year. So
that's
you hung
hangover.
Over. So that was the hangover year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason we're called the Hangovers. But anyway, in the second half, the Hangovers will do a set, and they usually invite on tour. They often invite alumni up to sing with the Hangovers, and then at the end, there'll be 20 minutes of Cornell songs, and they always invite Glee Club alumni. And there, are Alex, myself, and Ron Schiller, who also lives here, are all alumni. And there's another guy, Brad Korch, who lives over in Vail, who are all Glee Club alumni. And then we know there are other Cornell alumni.
So. And I believe our former music director, at least the music director that I sang under, I had 1 year under Tom Sokol, so I overlapped with Professor Sokol for 1 year. And then Scott Tucker came in. He was in Boston at the time and came to Cornell and was there for, I think, at least 15 years, left about 2 years ago, and he's actually going to be joining us here in Aspen just as an audience member, to see the group.
Have you had one of these experiences in the intervening years since you graduated where you've seen them and gone up?
In fact, they were on tour on the west coast of the U.S. This is probably 5 or 6 years ago when I was living in San Francisco and working at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music, and their concert in San Francisco was at the conservatory, so I managed that and produced that entire concert, helped them with that, which was terrific. Helped them with home stays, which is also a huge part of tour, is that Glee Clubbers tend to stay in the homes of people who are living in the places where they're singing. I think while in Aspen, they're not. They're staying at a hotel in Snowmass. But most of the time while you're on tour, you are staying in alumni's abodes and getting to know their families, hearing their stories about Cornell. It's actually a really great part about the tour is meeting people from around the country and around the world, for that matter, who love Cornell and love having the music in their homes.
Have you two and or with Ron and or the fellow from Vail who's coming over gotten together in the last couple weeks just to start?
No.
In the shower, perhaps, at all, right. By yourselves?
Well, I'm always singing in the shower, you know, so I just have to refresh my memory of some of the words of the Cornell song.
I've had one of the albums on the past couple of nights. Mm. I've got two small kids, 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and for whatever reason, they are obsessed with sea shanties. And there is a sea shanty or two that is typically sung on some of these concerts. So Drunken Sailor may show up, or Ward the Pirate.
Yes,
but
yes.
Drunken Sailor is a very popular
one in
our house right now. Eight Bells. Good one.
So we all know all these songs by heart because we've all sung them. And, every group, every era has different pieces that they know that we don't know. But there's always a core of songs like the Beeble Ave Maria that everybody knows that whenever we get together, we can all sing. So, and it's... there are a lot of great choirs in the country and around the world, but there are fewer and fewer all-male choruses. And Cornell is unique in that Cornell has an all-male chorus, and there's also an all-female chorus. So we have, equal representation, and then the two groups get together to sing joint works where we require SATB. So it's really the best of both worlds. We can do the mixed music, but then each group can celebrate the individual, the male repertoire and the female repertoire, which both have rich composing histories, but you don't get to hear it as much anymore, or you hear an SATB version of it, which can be good, like the Beeble, but it just doesn't quite sound the same.
Alex, you're a tenor?
Mm-hmm. Lack of facial hair gives it away, right?
Which comes across in radio really
of course,
well.
Yeah, absolutely.
David, bass?
Actually, also first tenor, Alex.
Really?
And I sing the highest parts, believe it or not.
Ah.
And you can't always tell from the speaking voice, but... Although we've both been known to fill in on bass occasionally when more you than I.
And it's an Aspen Music Festival production.
It's a co-presentation. So we're very happy. I work for the music festival, and really happy to have them coming to Harris Hall to do a co-presentation. Yeah, it's a terrific opportunity to get this music out to the Roaring Fork Valley. The music festival's been doing a lot more during the off season. Certainly, we have our winter music series. This is not a part of the winter music series, although it is in the winter time. But that, in addition to all of the education and outreach that we're doing in the valley, it's just a great opportunity for us to get more people into our venues. They're doing some really great work down in Carbondale as well as Basalt. So they'll be working with two choirs down there on I think Tuesday morning, busing down there, having a couple of hours with them, mini performances and some clinics. And then they're coming back up here and working with the All Valley Honor Choir, which is going to be in residence in Harris Hall as well that day. And they are performing Tuesday night at Harris Hall as well. So they'll be coming in doing a very brief performance for that choir. Some of the guys from the Glee Club will then become section leaders in the chorus for that performance that evening. So they'll actually they'll be able to work side by side with some of the singers in the valley. And we're bringing in women singers to be section leaders for that performance as well. Tickets are online, aspenmusicfestival.com. The Monday concert is $25 for adults. Kids 18 and under are free, which is terrific. So please bring your kids. It's a really fun time, Monday night, 6:30. And the Tuesday concert is free for the All Valley Honor Choir, which is great.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time, and good luck. Break a leg.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.